Today on Annenberg Radio News.
We have so many different kinds of toppings on our dogs, and I just love creating a new hot dog every month with something new and different.
We learn the secrets of hot dog success from the owner of Pink's, and what does he think about Dodger dogs? Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 25th, 2013. I'm Omar Shamoot. Hundreds gathered in downtown Los Angeles this morning to celebrate the life of local Latino educator Sal Castro. Castro passed away April 15th at the age of 79. Lauren Jones reports.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Former students, colleagues, and others filled the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels to commemorate the legacy of former LAUSD teacher and education activist Sal Castro. He passed away last week after battling cancer. California Supreme Court Judge Carlos Moreno was a longtime friend of Castro.
Sal Castro is a force of nature, a man on a mission. He has left an indelible mark on the lives of thousands of young Chicanos aspiring to achieve their unique place in the American dream.
Castro was known for his central role in the 1968 walkouts at East LA schools to protest inequalities in education for Latinos. This series of protests was later turned into the HBO film Walkout. One of his former students, Nina Gonzalez, says Castro was a vital influence in her life.
I am a college graduate, a middle school principal, a proud Chicana. We are. Because of Mr. Sal Castro.
Even after his career in the classroom ended, Castro continued to inspire young Chicanos through an annual leadership conference.
It was about empowering Latinos.
That's Annabelle Alcaric, a UCLA student who went to one of Castro's conferences.
Sal Castro did an excellent job at inspiring you and giving you the motivation to proceed, go on to college.
Castro's friends and supporters hope that message will live on through his legacy. Lauren Jones, Annenberg Radio News.
The Civilian Fire Commission approved a plan today to reassign firefighters from trucks to ambulances, despite protests from an LA firefighters union. Frank Lima is president of United Firefighters of Los Angeles. He says the plan is dangerous.
The plan will undoubtedly hurt and injure firefighters and cause more loss of life to Angelenos. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
The staffing plan would reduce the number of firefighters on a fire truck from 3 to 2. The extra firefighter would be put on ambulance duty, adding 11 more ambulances to the department's fleet. Fire Chief Brian Cummings says this is the best use of resources, as 85% of 911 calls are for medical attention. Domestic workers are celebrating a victory today. The California Domestic Worker Bill of Rights was passed by the Assembly's Labor Committee yesterday. And today, the workers and supporters gathered in downtown Los Angeles, as Fiona Wang reports.
The California Domestic Worker Bill of Rights would give basic labor protections to people like house cleaners and caregivers. It calls for basic provisions like overtime pay, meal breaks, and pay days off. Supporters have been out in the streets every week since early March.
Today, we're here in front of the state building again as one of our Action Thursdays, wearing lilac and bringing cupcakes to educate the passerbys about what's happening, and because we were celebrating the passage of it yesterday.
That's Aquilina Soriano, the executive director of Filipino Workers Center of Southern California.
And also just still keeping visibility to the governor's office to let him know that we're one step closer to his desk again.
This is the second measure of its kind in the country. New York passed one last year. Supporters say the bill underscores just how important these workers are to the city. Here's Misty Upham, an actress who used to be a house cleaner.
The hardest work is done by these people here, and this is work that most people just think they are above, you know, they think they are too good for. So if all of our workers stopped, the city would cease to run completely. So they are very, very important to society.
We gotta let folks know that this is not just a separate and isolated issue. This is a bigger issue of injustice and exploitation of workers.
The California Chamber of Commerce opposes the bill. It's concerned that the law will burden people who need long-term help. Fiona Wen, Annenberg Radio News.
Starting today, the Transportation Security Administration was supposed to allow small knives to be carried on planes. But the bombing at the Boston Marathon last week turned that plan back into an idea. Sarah Politis went to LAX to see how people feel about the change.
Good morning. Where are you folks off to?
I'm off to Phoenix.
Travelers I spoke with weren't upset about TSA canceling its plan to allow small knives on planes.
You shouldn't be able to travel with them anyway. I think it's safety reasons, regardless of what's going on in the world.
It's no big deal. You can pack it in your suitcase and check it, you know, if you need one on your trip.
You shouldn't be able to fly with any weapons of any kind, especially if I can't take shampoo.
I met Robin and her two children at curbside check-in. Robin, a small knife carrier herself, felt a bit differently.
I have no problem with small knives because, for example, if I was on a flight and somebody tried to take me out or anybody else using a small knife, wouldn't happen.
But everybody I spoke with agreed that they didn't feel any less safe flying after what happened in Boston.
The bombing thing, it was, you know, a couple of kids with some crazy ideas and you know, bad things can happen anywhere.
They have good faith in the security screening processes and there's always cops around, so not a huge concern.
That's Nick Marini. He flies between his home in Syracuse, New York, and his job in Los Angeles twice a week. And while he wasn't worried about his safety, he says he gets a little annoyed.
If I forget my sodas in my bag, yeah. Okay. Yeah, then you have to rescan your whole bag. It's kind of a pain.
I had to throw away a bag, whole toothpaste last time.
I'd like to be able to take water through security and not have to spend a lot of money on a bottle of water.
TSA has yet to announce when they will allow small knives on planes. Sarah Politis, Annenberg Radio News.
Scouts and gay rights advocates across the country are anxiously awaiting next month's vote on a proposal to accept gay members. The LA chapter is in favor of it. Claire Pyrese has the arguments for and against.
The Boy Scouts of America national leadership has proposed admitting openly gay boys as members, but not openly gay leaders or volunteers. Ann Bergman in Sherman Oaks has a son who was a Boy Scout. She agrees with the proposal.
I mean, it really should just be based on, you know, who the individual is, not who they happen to love.
Bergman thinks the Boy Scouts should take a lead from the Girl Scouts, who even allow transgenders to join the troops. John Stemberger is the founder of OnMyHonor.net. He's against allowing gay members. One reason is because many Scout chapters are run through local churches.
A lot of those churches would not be able to, in good faith, you know, continue their chartership. Say, what will be a big hit are the family foundations, the big major donors. BSA stands to lose 10 times more money if they make the change than if they don't make the change.
But the finances argument doesn't ring true for Zach Walls from Scouts for Equality. He says there's not a lot of funding already.
If you look at where corporate America is, only 1 in 7 major U.S. corporations currently supports financially the Boy Scouts of America. Intel, the BSA's largest corporate donor, pulled their donations from the Boy Scouts over $400,000 because they said the scouting's discriminatory ban was out of step with their values.
There are many other reasons why some people are opposed to admitting gay scouts. Their concerns range from issues of possible abuse to sleeping arrangements on camping trips. But Stemberger says that could all be resolved with a don't ask, don't tell approach.
What they ban is open homosexuality. That's different than just being a homosexual or being gay and kind of acting normally. Open homosexuality is openly promoting a gay agenda.
When folks like John try to say that, you know, we don't want openly gay people in the program, what he's saying is that he wants gay people to lie about who they are. And that goes against the very first tenet of the Scout Law, you know, the 12-part Scout Law. And that is that a scout is trustworthy.
The policy will be voted on during a national council meeting of more than 1,400 BSA members on May 22nd. Claire Pyrese, Annenberg Radio News.
Well, if you haven't been to the beach yet, this might be a good weekend to start. Tonight's temperatures will dip into the high 60s, but a heat wave will push temps into the high 80s tomorrow and stretch into the 90s on Saturday and Sunday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we check out how a a hit hip-hop single is boosting thrift shop sales. YouTube is where people seek fame and attention, but one high school student used the site to escape bullying at the hands of his classmates. In the latest installment of our Graduation Day LA series, Laura Santana reports on a Muslim teenager who dances to his own cultural and religious beat.
Most of high school senior Asfan Latif's friends aren't Pakistani or Muslim like he is. They don't follow the strict rules of his faith. He can't date girls, go out on Fridays, or even share a pepperoni pizza. But Asfan wanted to bridge the gap between his American culture and his own. He wanted to fit in, and so he took to YouTube. Reina! Asfan's series of satirical videos made him one of the most popular students at Etowanda High School in Rancho Cucamonga, a city east of Los Angeles.
People still recognized us as those guys that made videos, you know? So that kind of stuck with us. So they're always thinking, oh, that's a funny guy, that's Asfan.
In their most popular YouTube video, Indian Dance Troll, Asfan and his Pakistani friends danced to a famous Bollywood song at local malls. Within a week, they had 40,000 views.
Oh, everybody at school was talking about it. Make more. We made another one, we got 50,000 views.
Indian Dance Troll was Asfan's last YouTube video. He wanted to be more than just the funny guy at school. He wanted to get back to things that were more important in his life. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It's Friday evening at mosque. Asfan stands with his arms crossed and eyes closed. He brings his hands to his face, then kneels to the floor, his forehead touching the soft rug. He prays. None of Asfan's friends have to follow his strict Islamic guidelines. Sometimes this difference can make their friendship complicated.
I think at first it was hard. It was dang, I'm going to go to a party. Everybody there is going to be drinking and smoking. I'm going to be the only one sitting there, you know, looking at them wow, I don't drink or smoke. What am I going to do? Assalamu alaikum.
His father, Amir, sacrificed a luxurious lifestyle in Pakistan to begin a textile business in America.
We were always brought up with, having servants at home and, maids, 24-hour maids, Asfan was 4 years old when he came to this country, so we always had a maid for him and his sister.
We're the first family to actually come out to America. The rest are still in Pakistan, and they all have that system of taking over your own father's business, and my dad kind of broke out of that system,
Driving home from school, Asfan reveals a struggle that he faced in America that his father doesn't know about. Classmates that bullied him because of his religion.
Al-Qaeda, Saddam Hussein, terrorism, blah, blah, blah. I got a lot of that. Living here, I got so much of that growing up.
Asfan was only 6 years old on September 11th, 2001. Even now, he's hurt that classmates blamed him for the terrorist actions.
I was sitting in class and this girl walks up. And she was like, you worship the devil. And I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean I worship the devil? She's like, Allah is a devil. And I looked at her and I was like, do you know anything?
Asfan says after all the taunting, making the YouTube videos made him more comfortable with who he is and who he encounters.
Make friends with no matter who you are. You can be the quietest, weirdest person, or you can be the loudest jock at our school,
With this and all the other lessons he's learned so far, Asfan is happy with his choice to trade in his former YouTube stardom for a more distinguished title, college student. At UC Santa Barbara, Asfan will study to become a brain surgeon and, in the future, offer low-cost surgeries to those less fortunate in Pakistan. Laura Santana, Annenberg Radio News.
A word of caution before the next segment. Today's interview will almost certainly make you hungry. I spoke with USC alumnus Richard Pink about how his family's hot dog stand came to be a true Los Angeles landmark. What's it been like to be part of a traditional family-owned restaurant in a city that's known for fast food?
Well, it's a phenomenal experience being part of a hot dog stand that's been around for 73 years from the time that my parents opened Pink's in 1939 when they borrowed $50 to buy a push cart. And they didn't even have any utilities on the site at La Brea and Melrose at that time. And they had to go out and get a 200-yard extension cord in order to plug into a hardware store to fire up this hot dog cart for the first 2 years. And at that time, imagine this, that the rent was $15 a month and hot dogs were 10 cents and Cokes were a nickel. And so it took a long time for them to establish that that hot dog stand, that reputation that we have today. But over the years, we've had celebrities from everyone from Orson Welles, who, by the way, holds the record for the most hot dogs consumed at one sitting, all the way to Aerosmith was there recently, and Steve Martin came in, and he just put two hot dogs on a tray and a Coke and sat in our dining room and was just sort of quiet and having his two dogs and was very happy and so forth.
Now, hot dogs in Los Angeles have had somewhat of a resurgence over the past couple of years. You got places like Wurst, Koosh, Currywurst, dogs are quite popular. What do you make of that?
Well, there's over 20 billion hot dogs sold in the United States every single year. Hot dog is probably part of America's heritage in terms of food. And it's a very tasty item. We're certainly known for hamburgers in Los Angeles, but hot dogs, if you put on the right kinds of toppings and you make it unique and you make it special, and the places that you mentioned do that, and at Pink's there's 35 different kinds of hot dogs, so we want to be very unique and we want to satisfy all different kinds of tastes. And the fact of the matter is that next to New York City, Los Angeles sells more hot dogs than any other city in the United States. Believe it or not, over $100 million is spent every year on hot dogs in Los Angeles. And as a matter of fact, the number one ballpark for the sale of hot dogs in the U.S. is Dodger Stadium.
Do you like Dodger dogs?
I like Dodger dogs. I have to say I'm biased. I happen to like our dogs better. But mainly because our dog isn't just the dog itself, which is a natural casing dog that snaps when you bite into it. It's steamed. It's not grilled. But the key is that we have so many different kinds of toppings on our dogs, and I just love creating a new hot dog every month with something new and different, whether it's pastrami on the dog or whether it's guacamole or whether it's bacon or any kind of ingredient I can think of that tastes good to me, I will somehow create a dog. Most recently, we created the Ryan Lochte dog. Now, Ryan's got a new show, What Would Ryan Lochte Do? And Ryan Lochte would come to Pink's. And so what we did with his dog is that we have two dogs that I told Ryan, it's basically like two dogs racing in a swimming pool. And we covered it with French fries. So hot dog topped with fries, topped with nacho cheese sauce, and topped with bacon bits. And he bit into it, and he loved it. He actually ate three of them at Pink's, and that's a pretty hearty sampling of hot dogs that Ryan consumed that day.
Have you ever tried out a new hot dog and had customers say, Richard, you've just gone too far with this. This is just too nuts.
If we don't sell 15 or 20 hot dogs a day of that particular dog, after a couple of weeks of people getting introduced to it, then we do take it off the menu, you know? And I'm sure that there's some things that people will say, oh, this is really crazy, you know, putting onion rings on a hot dog covered with barbecue sauce. Or Martha Stewart created a hot dog at Pink's, which is basically relish and tomatoes and sauerkraut and sour cream and bacon. And some people will go, wow, that's just too much. And you know, hot dogs usually you think of as eating with your hands, but most of our hot dogs are covered with so many different toppings and we create so many different tastes with it. You really have to sit down and you have to eat it on a tray with a knife and fork. And I know, Omar, you've done that.
That was Richard Pink, owner of Pink's Famous Hot Dogs. More and more people are buying their clothes from secondhand shops. Goodwill stores have seen a rise in sales year after year. And now, a hit song is helping inspire a new group of thrifty shoppers. James Santelli reports.
You walk through the doors of your local thrift store. You see shirts lining the rack. Maybe you walk toward the back. Check out the knickknacks on the shelves. it's not the most exciting place to be. That is until rapper Macklemore and producer Ryan Lewis stepped in and made it the setting for the hottest song in the country. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand-me-down? Thank you. Velour jumpsuit and some house slippers. It's called Thrift Shop, an internet sensation that is now at the top of the Billboard charts. And Macklemore's shopping habits are now being copied by the people listening. USC junior Paige Graham never once stepped into a secondhand store until the song came around last fall.
And I was just like, oh, this is a catchy beat. And then it just caught on like wildfire. I feel like everywhere I went, where I was driving, I even saw it on commercials, it was everywhere.
Paige started going to Goodwill to find clothes for thrift shop-themed parties. Paige and her friends shop at thrift stores pretty often now, all inspired by Macklemore's hit. Rap songs reference brands and products all the time, but sometimes specific brands come into focus. Flashback to 2002, when Busta Rhymes was name-dropping one particular brand of cognac. You could give me the ass, you could give me the dough, you could give me the drone, but pass it to Vance, yeah. A year later, the duo Outkast had their number one hit, Hey Ya, and they told folks to shake it like a Polaroid picture. Hey Ya, shake it. The Polaroid Corporation took the publicity from Hey Ya and ran with it, even making a deal with Outkast to have their cameras on stage during the Grammy Awards. Now Thrift Shop has spent 26 weeks on the Billboard charts, but has it actually increased sales at these stores? The International Business Times said it's unclear if the song has had a direct effect, and Goodwill says they can't attribute sales gains specifically to Macklemore. But Goodwill Southern California's Vice President of Marketing, Sasha Idzikman, says they're capitalizing on the song's popularity in other ways.
We see it as being, you know, a great boon for creating awareness and certainly elevating the image and the profile of Goodwill among a younger demographic.
And now Goodwill Southern California is using some of his lyrics in social media and print campaigns.
I look incredible. I wear your grandpa's clothes. $20 in my pocket. I think they're all really great. You know, when you even when you isolate them into single lines, you know, they're a fun play on Goodwill.
Revenues for Goodwill Southern California have gone up at least 10% every year since 2007, and now the hit song is encouraging young people like Paige to head for their local thrift store. She even bought a fur coat to match the one Macklemore wears in his music video.
My fur coat is floor length and it is black, and it cost me a whopping $70, which in retrospect was probably not a very good impulse decision, but it was from a thrift shop, so it was marked down from like $350. It's genuine fur. My mother thinks I look ridiculous in it, but I think it's fantastic.
Paige says she has spent about $300 at Goodwill over the last few months, and she's enjoying what she's finding at a discount. I look incredible. Thrift Shop continues to dominate pop radio, and it sold more than 5 million copies. All those secondhand stores hope the young people listening will keep coming in and popping those tags. James Santelli, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Eric Rubel to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks. First, we're going to start with who is providing free HIV testing on campus. Also, we're going to cover the opening of the Bush Library Center in Dallas. And finally, we're going to visit Scoop's Ice Cream on the West Side, just in time for summer. Thanks, Omar.
Thank you, Eric. Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from ATVN, Eamon Oyeboke Osifo, and Sam Weiser. Molly Gray is our producer. Our executive producer is Aaron Schrank. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Omar Shamoot.